Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to you this week on Channel 9. I'm one of your hosts, Nicola.
And I'm Vlad.
And today we're on the field, or in the field, as they would say.
In the field,
yes.
Building 83, right?
83 on Microsoft campus.
Yeah,
we thought we'd change it up a bit.
It's a new building.
Yes, we were here yesterday. We looked at the building. It looked beautiful and said, we should shoot here. So here we are. We're shooting here.
Because why not?
Yeah. So this is a building where actually the Windows Store team, at least the Windows Store team, actually does work here. I hope they do work because this building is super fun. So I want to see how that actually gets some work
done. It's really hard to work here.
It's a beautiful building. Anyway, we're going to go into one of the news and hopefully we have some good stuff.
Yeah, talking about Windows.
Yes. The biggest thing this week is... we have a new build released.
Another week, another build.
Yeah, build 14328.
14328.
Yes, this build is for both Windows desktop and also for Windows Phone.
Surprise.
Yes, it's the same build.
Yeah, it's a very actually good build, and there is a lot of new fixes and improvements. Like, you're going to spend the whole day just reading through the change log.
spend some time. It's a big update for Windows Desktop. We had an update for Windows Phone this Wednesday, actually. So this is just the update to keep it up to the same build number as the Windows Desktop. But Windows Desktop has really good features, I think. I was going through it, I was trying it out, it's really cool. Some of the new stuff is the Ink Workspace.
Yeah, the Ink Workspace.
Ink Workspace is in there.
And the calendar.
The new calendar, yes. Yeah. If you open up the clock now, you can actually have integration with the calendar. All your calendar items with the clock and the calendar, so you can see everything in one click. There's improvements with the touchpad and multiple desktops, so now you can flick between multiple desktops using four fingers on the touchpad, which is really cool.
I can use my four fingers, all my four fingers.
It's really cool stuff. We've updated the star screen with some new designs. We've had some new Cortana improvements, so now you can have Cortana on your lock screen. So if you go to settings and enable that, you can use Hey Cortana even though your lock screen is locked, even though your machine is locked, you can ask her questions, etc.
Given these really cool numbers stuff. Of like end user improvements, we really need your feedback as in like you as insiders. So how do you like new start menu design? How do you like the Cortana behavior? How do you like the inking workspace? And by the way, talking about inking workspace, there is a whole post by Lichen Miller about the new inking capabilities and in this insider build and actually like the Redstone, or how we call it, anniversary update, right? So she basically, or he, I don't know by the way, he or she describes the all these new features, how to use them, and it's actually more targeting the end users than developers, but still very interesting.
But it's still providing a way for developers that have applications that use ink or pen to actually get those applications from the users, because you can always see applications that support the pen and that work great with the pen into the workspace, which is really, really great.
Yeah, but this post also talks about the rulers and all this stuff. You might see it at build, but yeah, let's go.
Another update that we've had this week is also around Edge. We've had a new update around Edge that supports some new standards and some new codecs, etc.
Formats and codecs. They're actually pretty popular codecs and pretty good. So it's good that Edge now supports them. So the cross browser code becomes even more cross browser.
Yeah.
So and that's good.
Some of those codecs are some of the stuff that Google's been working on,
exactly.
Things like WebM and VP9, etc.
So if you're building media applications and or like voice over IP applications in the browser, that's for you. That's
and
a
even
deal.
If you're building UWP applications on JavaScript or hosted web applications, this will also work as well.
Yeah.
It's all available.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Moving from purely like Windows stuff to multi-platform stuff, there is a good write-up by Alex Fedorescu about porting Unity 3D applications to Universal Windows Platform. We started doing this sort of tutorials and even labs like outside about three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually very popular. We also got basically a list of steps you may want to take to have your application ported, and it's a good summary of what you want to do, where you're gonna start, where you're gonna start from like installing Windows 10, Visual Studio, all this stuff. Yeah, but That's a good summary.
And speaking of Unity, mm-hmm. our good friend Rick Barraza has a whole series now on Channel 9. Talks about the creative coding with Unity. So if you are a developer in Unity, the chances are you're mostly a game developer. But Rick wants to kind of get the attention towards more creative coding, more developers that make experiences not for games necessarily, but for artistic reasons or for other creative reasons with Unity.
Yeah.
So you have a series of like about 8 videos that can go through very different things that creative coders should know about.
Yeah, if you're what people call a creative coder, that is like an official name for that community. So basically, if you're on the C++ side doing sort of like graphics, audio, mm-hmm. creative things, it's also good for you because Unity is a really great tool. At least take a look at
that. You may like fast.
Some of them.
Now, if you don't have Windows 10 or you don't want to go to the latest Windows 10 Insider build, we still want to try out some of the new things. We have an update this month for virtual machines of the latest Windows 10 mm-hmm. updates. You can try out the new Visual Studio update too. And these come with preloader with things like the IoT Core SDK, the Azure SDK, the Bridge for iOS. It comes with a lot of the UWP samples. Mm-hmm. It's a really great way to get into UWP development on any kind of virtual machines. We have them for Hyper-V, yeah. we have for VirtualBox, etc. that you can try them and download them. And they last for about, I believe they're 90 days that they last for. So then they expire, but we keep getting periodically new updates for these virtual
machines. Yeah, what's good about this virtual machine, you probably already know, you just take it and it has everything. Like Visual Studio, all the SDKs, samples, you're just messing around with them, like playing with them and like decide what you like and what you don't like. And then eventually you install the real one and play with the real tools, right?
Exactly.
Awesome.
Now, moving on towards more of a cloud kind of things. Uh-huh. I hope everyone's familiar with the cognitive services that we have for Project Oxford, or what's called Project Oxford for face recognition, motion recognition.
Owl.net.
Et cetera, all those different things. Now, the Azure Media Analytics suite has introduced some new features that are similar to this, which allow you to do face recognition in video. So you can do up to 64 mm-hmm. faces and recognize how many faces are. You can actually assign different IDs, so you can actually keep track of the same people in certain times, so you can know how many people are coming in and out of the video, their location. You can also know what their emotion there. So if people are happy, if people are sad in this video. So you can actually do this in really high precision. You can get this really with good information about, you know, the videos that you're recording or whatever you're doing with the videos.
And everything happens automatically.
Yeah, and it's a free preview right now, so you can actually go and try it out. You don't have to pay.
Talking about power tools, this is the power tool. It is a power tool, but there are other power tools that exist for years now. It's Visual Studio Power Tools, and the Visual Studio team actually decided to open source it. For an obvious reason, so they just want you to contribute and make it better, right? So this is actually something I'm using, and it's a really good thing. Like sometimes I forget to install it, and then like I realize, oh man, I need this, so I download Visual Studio Power Tools and install it. That's a really basically it's a bunch of like small tweaks that automate your tasks, that make Visual Studio better. Some of them eventually become Visual Studio features, but they still need this field of for experiments.
Yeah.
And now they went further and open source it.
Which is really cool. It has really cool shortcuts. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about this, open sourcing it, is if you want to get started, if you have an idea for an extension for Visual Studio or a tool, just look through this, take some of the code, mm-hmm, change mm-hmm. it yourself, add some of your features into it, and then just you have your tool.
Copy,
it's a really
paste,
easy way to learn from this.
Search and replace.
Exactly. Good. Oh, so at that time of the end of the show, we're going to talk about picks of the week. So my pick of the week is actually a very fun project. It's not actually from this week. It's from a week ago. But this was something that was talked
you're
to build.
I am
cheating a bit, yes. But it's something that's worth getting out there, and I think it's really cool. And that's the Open Translator to Things, or the Open T2T. And now they have an open public mm-hmm. alpha, and it's actually open sourced on GitHub. And for those that don't know, the Open Translator to Things, it's a way to have a universal schema for a certain category of items, of things, as they say, like a category of light bulbs or category of temperature sensors, etc. That way developers, when they're writing their applications and they want to talk to or turn on and off light bulbs. They don't have to write code for a Hue light bulb or for different types of, you know, controllers or different types of protocols. They can just use this open schema that the developers have, you know, have written, and then they can use this to only target that and say, I have a light bulb, I'll turn it on. And then as developers, they can also, you can also go on the GitHub and you can look at all the translators. You can write your own translators for different things. So that way developers can take advantage of this. And they have samples for different types of platforms. You can have samples for EWP, samples for Java, samples for Android, etc. They can take advantage of it and see how that is actually done. It's very easy. This opens the door for Cortana, for example. You can just say, turn on my light bulb. Or for different things that, you know, can, they don't have to know how the technology works. They can just use this technology to talk to different things.
Yeah, it reminds me on BizTalk, just for Internet of Things. Do you remember that time when we were converting one XML to another XML using XSLT transformations and, and all these like queues and everything? Yeah, it's awesome.
Super fun.
My pick of the week, it's actually about HoloLens. Because I like HoloLens.
But also
everybody
light
likes
bulbs.
HoloLens and light. Oh yeah, light bulbs are like they're awesome. So it's a video made by Morten Nielsen, one of our influencers and one of Windows insiders and one of very happy guys who got HoloLens in Wave One, during Wave One. And
small group of lucky people.
Yeah,
yes.
He actually made an app, HoloLens app, for controlling light bulbs using all join APIs available as part of UWP platform. So basically, you do it in a way you would do it, like if you have this, like, I don't know, magic wand, or you just gaze your light bulb lamp, and you just use your hand with whatever place you want to turn it on, to change the color. You can use your voice. This is really awesome, and I hope Morten will open source the his. Like this application, and so everyone can see first how to deal with HoloLens, how to basically connect holograms with the real things, and the second thing, how to use all join on UWP, right?
It's awesome. A sample that covers all kinds of technologies, and I think it would be cool to see how the code works.
Hey, Morten, please open source it. No.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us for this show. Please use the comments down there. Tell us what your favorite features are from the new update for Windows or some of the new things that we talked about today. And I hope to see you next week.
And obviously, have fun. Bye.